Let us pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us. It is light for our path. It is food for our soul. May it be so for us this morning. Amen. Please be seated. Well, in July this year, I had an opportunity to do something completely out of character. I went to an art gallery in Paris. I'm not a very arty person, but my daughter is, and so she and I were able to go off to a museum and we saw the works of Monet, that great impressionist, his water lilies. And to say the very least, I was struck by them because they're not like the postcards, you may realise. They're huge, these pictures. They're broad and immense, and they fill an entire wall. They fill your vision. And more than that, they're clever. They have form and colour and hints of detail that draw you in so you start considering what lies behind the play of light and reflection. This isn't like the detail of a little portrait. This is art with a broad and deep scope, simple brushstrokes of the impressionist, but drawing you in until you find yourself in the picture. Well, today, Jesus is our impressionist artist. And as we come before our reading in the Gospel today, we see something similar. Here we don't have a little intricate detailed portrait. What we have is a broad brushstroke painting of the kingdom. And it is broad. It has a scope that is deep and wide. In fact, this simple parable that we have today has a scope that spans almost the entirety of history. In this scripture painting today, we will see the past, we will see the future, and will be encountered by the present of God's kingdom. In this scripture painting, we are met by the one who was, the one who will be, and the one who is. So let's stand back and take a look at it for a moment. Our gospel reading, of course, is a parable, a fictionalized but meaningful narrative. The part of God is played by a master, and the part of God's people is played by the master's slaves. And the master, planning to go on a journey, entrusts his own wealth to his slaves. Take note of this. Often this parable is used to talk about the talents we have, how we have, you know, a gift of playing guitar or of being good at some other skill. But here the word talent is simply a measure of weight. And in this case, it's a measure of weight of something precious, probably gold. And so it's the master giving of his own wealth to his slaves. And it's a lot of wealth. If this was a talent of gold, then we're talking about 20 years' wages. The picture that is painted here is one of these slaves being given millions of dollars to invest. The master departs. He has gone for a long time, and when he returns, he settles his account with the slaves. Have they been faithful with his wealth? Have they guarded his wealth well? And the first two have. They have brought 100% return. And their reward is given to them, and it's significant. They have an increase in authority. You've been faithful with these small number of millions of dollars. Here have charge of even more. But the reward is even deeper than that, because they are told to enter into the joy of their master. It is as if to say, come and join me at the table now. Come and dine with me, no longer as a servant, but as a friend, as a colleague. This is the picture that is painted. So far, so good. A gentle scene of trust and trustworthiness. But all pictures have their meaning in the contrasts, don't they? And there is a contrast in this story. The third slave is different. This slave, upon his master's return, has been found to have taken his master's wealth and he's hidden it in a hole. And when the master returns, it's almost with an air of exasperation that he throws at his master's feet and said, "Oh, I knew you were a terrible master. Here, have it back. Have it back." To which the master responds, "Well, if that's how you thought of me, you could at least have put it in the bank." And he's cast out into the outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Darkness has spilled into our broad brushstrokes of this picture. And we are here to take it all in, this picture of the kingdom in past, future, and present. So let's make our consideration of it. When I got to go and see Monet's water lilies, I'd look back like this. And then I got in trouble with the guard because I got a little bit too close going in like this. It's time for us to go in a little bit closer and take one of those considerations. Let's look at this picture, this story, in terms of its past. The kingdom of God that we know in history. If you've been with us at the cathedral these last few weeks, you'll have encountered a lot of history because we've been journeying through Genesis and we've been reading about the God who is the God of history, the one who creates and sustains and intervenes. In fact, last week, Richard told us that history is not bunk, but history is in fact his story. And so the story of God is full of purpose and full of promise. God's plan is to restore his creation, and not through violent interruption, but through blessing. The story of Genesis and on through the scriptures tells us how God, through blessing a people, seeks to bring blessing to the whole world. He blesses Abraham and says, "I have blessed you to be a blessing." In the form of this parable, as we look at this history, that blessing of God, of his people, in the history of the world, is rendered as the talents given by the master to his servants. This blessing of God to his people are the riches of the master's wealth. They are the truth and wisdom and peace that God has delivered to his people over the ages. For the people of God, they are the land and the prosperity. It is the wisdom of the law. It is the temple and the very presence of God. These are worth so much more than millions. These are the talents of wealth given to the people of God. They are a blessing. And they are a blessing that is designed from the beginning to be a blessing that increases. I mean, it makes sense. If a people has been blessed with the wisdom of the law, when justice is exercised, when the justice of the law is exercised, then blessing increases. When wisdom is espoused to the nations, as it did in the blessing that God gave King Solomon, blessing is increased in the world. When peace rules, when mercy flows, when truth is not only proclaimed but exercised, when the poor are lifted up, these things which are blessings from God are increased through God's people as blessings in the world. This is how the blessing of God works in history. Can you see a parallel here? When the servants act like their master, the wealth increases. When the people of God are holy as he is holy, the blessings of God's plan for the world increase and are known. When God's blessing increases, it's the same as when the master has a return on his investment. And as the master enters into his joy, when the investment is returned 100%, so God enters into his joy when he encounters his blessing, his purposes for the world, at work amongst his people. The picture of the kingdom of God in the past. But what about the third slave? Who is he? When Jesus tells this parable in his day, in our past, in history, he actually has a little bit of history himself. He is telling on a day, in fact, he's telling on a day when he's on the Mount of Olives looking out over Jerusalem, and he's telling the story to his disciples, having just been in Jerusalem and having just encountered the third slave people of his day. For him, they are Pharisees and scribes. They are part of the people of God. These scribes and Pharisees have also received the blessings of God. They have the temple, they have the law, they have the very presence of God with them. But they, like the third slave, have not acted like their master. They have not increased blessing. In fact, Jesus says this of them. He says, they tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on the shoulders of others, but they themselves are unwilling to lift a finger to help. He says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you follow the law when you tithe mint and dill and cumin, but you neglect the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. It is these you ought to have practiced without neglecting the others. They have failed to increase God's blessing. But even more than this, like the third slave, their failure does not begin with their failure to act and to increase blessing. Their failure actually begins with their view of their master, their view of God himself. Just as the third slave said, I knew you were harsh. So the Pharisees reflect their version of a harsh God in the harshness of their lives and their teachings. They see God as absent, and so they themselves are disconnected from compassion and God's love. They even fail to recognize their master, the Prince of Peace, standing in their midst, there in history. No wonder Jesus laments over them and says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it with good news. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you are not willing. See, your house is now left to you desolate. There in history. And that sounds like weeping and gnashing of teeth. The kingdom of God. But let's take a step back, because that's just that angle. This is not just a story picture about intransigent Pharisees of 2,000 years ago. This is also a picture that's painted in other lights, past, future, and present. It is one thing to encounter this from the point of view of looking at it as a historic fact about an encounter with the Master who came 2,000 years ago. But this picture is also about the coming of the Lord in the future. It's the same picture, but now in a different light. In this light, the talents are not just the blessings that we read about for the historical people of God. These are not just about what the promises that God said he would do through them. These are now the talents of God's blessing that have certainly been done and have been done in Jesus Christ our Lord. If we look at this picture and look, there is a master who will return, we see that these talents are about things that we are familiar with. God has blessed his people with redemption, forgiveness, the mark and seal of the Holy Spirit. He has blessed his people with new life, with cleansing blood, with hope-filled resurrection. He has blessed his people. He has blessed us. These are what we have been given. Freely, freely we have received. Freely, freely we give. We can go from looking at this picture by this angle and then look at this angle. And maybe at this point, we find ourselves in this picture. Do we? We here, this Cathedral Church of St. David. For here is the end of our story if we look towards the future. Here is our trajectory. Here we are looking towards our day of reckoning. Is it time for us to consider what he has blessed us with? And is it time for us to consider how we have shared that blessing? Have we increased the blessing of God in this world? Have we brought the justice, the grace, the generosity, the truth, the wisdom and the love, all those things that we have received from God, have we increased them around us and through us? Have we multiplied it? Have we been blessed to be a blessing, or have we just taken our blessing and stuck it in the ground? And just like the third slave, is it time for us to consider what our view of God is? Do we consider him as harsh, as ones that someone we cannot trust, that we must move forward in our own strength and forget what he has given us because it's an impossible task? Or do we think of him as absent, not here, someone we can ignore until that knock comes on the door itself? With what attitude or expectation do we await his return? How will he find us on that day in the future? It's a sudden and hard question, isn't it? Take a look at a painting from a slightly different angle and it all changes. But let's take one more step back. Because this is not just about the one who was. It's not just about the one who will come, this is also about the one who is. And it's a delightful mystery for us who follow Jesus that we live between his first coming in the past and his second coming in the future. We live in the present with him who is with us always, even until the very end of the age. This picture of God's kingdom is for us both now and not yet, which means at this moment, in the terms of this story, yes, we can read about the Master who came, and we can read about the Master who will come, but we are already also reading about a Master who is here, right now. We read this story and encounter a Master who is with us right now, settling accounts with his people. Ready to ask us continually right now, what are you doing with what I have given you? Ready to confront us ongoingly with that question about how we see him and how we respond to him. You see, the grace of God paints a picture of the kingdom that lays it out before us like a Monet painting. He has revealed to us the grand view of history and therefore has given us a season of grace, where the story itself prompts us and stirs us and calls us. On this day of reckoning, what will you do and what have you done with the blessing you have of this day? On this day, how will you respond? How do you see him? In the end, then, this story draws us in, like any good painting. And we must give our response. We must give our response that acknowledges our need to understand what he has given us and to put it into practice. There are so many ways we could talk about that. Our readings today have talked about being awake and alert and attending to all that God calls us to do. But can I humbly suggest right now at this time that there are some words that express the heart of it and call us to live our lives in a service and in a response that responds to this picture well. You know these words, you've already said them. They go like this. Father, forgive us. Strengthen us to love and obey you in newness of life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Praise be to God that we have this day in which we can say these words. We have prayed these words in the present. And so even now in the present, as we serve him and as we respond to him, on this day, we can enter into the joy of our Master. Amen. Amen.